How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. I am John Corrales, here by myself, representing the Rain and Jays on schedule release day. The Celtics and NBA schedule is out. We now know when they'll be playing these games, against whom. It's all in order. The software has spit it out, and there's some interesting things because of that trip to London. So I will be here to talk about it with you, for you, here on your ride to work or at the gym or wherever it is that you are. Again, thank you. You should be also on your phone using the SeatGeek app. They are our sponsor today, and you can get tickets to any one of these games using the SeatGeek app. So while we're here, let's get into it. The Boston Celtics open up their season on the 17th of October. We knew that against the Cavaliers, but then we didn't know their home opener is the very next night. Now, the NBA has gone through great pains to eliminate a lot of back-to-backs. The back-to-backs really have been reduced a lot. The Celtics have 14 back-to-backs this year. That's three fewer than last year. They are really, the schedule is designed now for the rest for these guys to be fresher, and that's just we see that evident across the board. But funny enough, the Celtics open up on a back-to-back with the Milwaukee Bucks coming to town. So they go to Cleveland on Tuesday the 17th. They come back on the 18th back home to host the Bucks for the home opener. And they play three games in four nights. They got Philly on that Friday. Things kind of ease out a little bit, but the Celtics schedule is kind of front-loaded a little bit. They play 40 of their 82 games before 2018 starts. So in October, November, December, the Celtics play 40 of their games. That's an interesting little twist. They do have a pretty packed schedule. They do have a stretch of five games in seven nights, which is not ideal, but they don't have the four games in five nights. That's been completely eliminated across the board. But after that first week where they have three games in four nights, then they have three days off, and then they play basically every other day for a couple of weeks. Then they have a stretch of a couple of weeks where they have, eight games in 14 days. What ends up happening is the Celtics pack their schedule here through December, because in January they have the London game. So they'll have 4 days off before the London game. They'll have 4 days off after the London game. And then they have a couple more weeks, and then it's the All-Star break. So basically January and February, they have a lot more rest. It's going to be interesting with so many games up front, because the Celtics, we know, are trying to integrate so many new guys. So what happens with Gordon Hayward? What happens with, you know, Mook Morris and all of these other guys that are trying to be kind of worked into the system, there's not a lot of time to get these guys acclimated, which is actually going to put a lot of pressure on the team, on guys like Isaiah Thomas, to maybe run some things before those guys get into camp. Almost like when I was in college and we organized captain's practices in the first month before you could officially start actual practice, because we needed to get guys kind of up to speed. And I'm going to guess that Isaiah is going to have to start getting these guys in to Boston in September. These guys are going to have to get together and have some informal workouts so they can at least, guys like Isaiah and Al Horford, they're going to have to start working on getting these guys some of the basic terminology, some of the sets that they ran throughout the course of the season last year, some of the things that will translate, some of the wording. You know, it's all the same game, but different teams have different terminology, different things that how they call out defensive signals. And that can take a little bit of time to figure out. One team calls it this, one team calls it that. It's basically the same concept, but they just have different words. So it's going to be up to the guys who have been here to get the other guys together, so when training camp actually opens and they get through just four preseason games, that they can be a little further ahead than they might be normally. Then they open the season and all of a sudden it's boom, 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 game, game, game. Cleveland's not going to be easy. Milwaukee's not going to be easy. Philly's not going to be easy. None of these teams, you don't have any real cupcakes. You don't know what Philly's really going to be. Honestly, they're so hard to really call. But you don't have any real cupcakes until the Knicks in the fourth game of the season. You got San Antonio in that first month. You've got a lot of tough teams. So they're going to be it's going to be interesting to see how they acclimate, how many growing pains there are. And we also know that Brad Stevens likes to experiment early on. We're going to see crazy lineups. One of the discussions that I've constantly been getting into on Twitter is who's going to start. Is it going to be Marcus? Is it going to be Jalen? Is it going to be Morris? Is it going to be Aaron Baines? And the discussions are interesting. I don't think it's going to be Aaron Baines, but I can understand why people say that. I just don't think the Celtics need to start traditional. But we know that they have started traditional. They have started with Al Horford at the four. And I think Al Horford can move to the five this season because of how the NBA has gone. Traditionally, he's not a five, but he doesn't have Amir Johnson around. And I don't know what Aaron Baines is going to provide if he's going to do a lot of the same things that Amir did. Now, he's a tough guy, but is he going to do the same things that Amir Johnson did? Amir Johnson, for all that we got on him and he had injuries and all of those things, he still was pretty good and provided a lift that you might not have noticed on the surface, but statistically, you know, when he was on the floor, he was a plus guy, generally speaking. So I don't know if the Celtics are going to go traditional. I don't know if they're going to go with Jay Crowder at the four, if they're going to go with Morris at the four, if they're going to start Jalen at the two or Smart at the two or Hayward at the two. I don't know what they're going to do. You can make a solid case for just about anything. Yeah, I know Hayward's not a two traditionally, but we're not talking about traditional things. We're talking about a new NBA, positional versatility, blah, blah, blah. You've heard that buzzword all the time. But that's what we're talking about, positional versatility. Guys that it doesn't even matter, two, three, four, five. If you throw Al Horford in there against most teams that don't have big bruising centers, then you can start with a big-time switchy type of defense. I mean, maybe you do start Isaiah, Hayward, Crowder, Morris, and Horford. That's a lineup we'll probably see early. You might see Smart in there at the two, and you go Isaiah, Smart, Hayward, Crowder, Horford, I mean, I can start throwing out different combinations all the time. We haven't. Jaylen Brown is going to be in there. Tatum's going to get minutes. But however that works out, we're going to have October, November, December kind of experimenting. And that's a lot of games. When half of your games are over in the first 3 months, and then you've got 4 calendar months to get out the rest of those games, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Does the fact that they've got so many games early at a time where Brad Stevens needs to experiment and figure out where the proper lineups are, what combinations really truly work together, is that going to hurt the Celtics? Are they going to lose games? Are they going to struggle? They're going to come out as a 500 team. They've got the Spurs, they've got the Warriors, they got Toronto, they've got a lot of good teams here. Cleveland, they got a lot of good teams that they're going to have to face early. And that's just the first 2 months of the season. Teams with continuity, teams that know what they're doing, that don't have a lot of turnover. Are the Celtics going to struggle through the first couple months of the season? I mean, that's a possibility. That could depress their win total. And I've spent weeks talking about how if everything goes right, the Celtics could be a 60-win team. And they could. They've got a lot of bad competition. They could go on a hell of a run in January, February, March to kind of close the season out and really become one of the great second-half teams. However, they might need a run like that to get up into the mid-50s in wins. It's possible. It's surely possible. But it's going to be tough. And all because of that London game in January. That's really what it comes down to. That London game in January, 4 days off before, 4 days off after, which I love that they're giving them plenty of time off. But that's forcing the league to jam a lot of games in unusual spots. So that's just one of the things to watch for early in the season. A front-loaded schedule, a lot of games early, and part of it is because of their feature in London. There are a lot of games that you're going to want to get to, and you should use the SeatGeek app to get to them. I have used the SeatGeek app many times. I've used it to get to games. I've used it to get to games on the road. I've used it to go to other things and check out, like I've said before on the show, I've used it to go out there and just kind of explore a new city. I like to go to different cities. And if you're heading to wherever and you want to see kind of what there is out there to do, go open the SeatGeek app and you'll see tickets to all sorts of things, shows, sporting events, other sports. It doesn't have to be basketball. It could be a concert. It could be a comedy show. It's all on the SeatGeek app. Like I said, I've got it on my phone. It's super easy to use. And it's really easy because they do all of the work for you. They search the multiple ticket sites. They compare the prices. They find you the deals. They get you the most bang for their buck. The seats are all graded, and you can open things up and see green for good deals, yellow for red for maybe a little bit overpriced, but whatever it is, you can use the SeatGeek app to go and pick through what's available. They make it very easy for you, and it's all fully guaranteed. So you can shop for those tickets with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding all the best deals on every kind of ticket. And our listeners get $20 off the first SeatGeek purchase. Super easy to do. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code LONBA. LONBA. Do that. You get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flow.
Before you lies a beautiful meadow. In that meadow, Progressive Direct has placed its auto insurance rates alongside those of competitors. You select the lowest rate and feel a great sense of calm. A great sense of...
Compare Progressive Direct rates with competitors' rates so you can rest easy. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Lots of tickets to purchase out there. And the Celtics, they're going to be on national TV a lot. They've got 25 non-NBA TV games. So they've got 34 national broadcasts, 25, 11 on TNT, 4 on ABC, 10 on ESPN, 9 on NBA TV. If you want to count NBA TV as a national broadcast, and the Celtics have 34 national games on the schedule. Tops in the league is 43, the Golden State Warriors, the Houston Rockets have 40, Cleveland 39, the Oklahoma City Thunder 37, the LA Lakers 35. The horrible LA Lakers are going to be on national TV more than the Boston Celtics. Now, 12 of those are going to be on NBA TV, but they also, just like the Celtics, have 11 TNT games. They only have one ABC game, but they'll have 11, one more than the Celtics, on ESPN. The Lakers, no matter how bad they are, they rate. And people are going to want to see them. People are going to want to see Lonzo Ball. I think a lot of people are going to want to see Lonzo Ball either succeed or fail. And I think LaVar Ball has a hand in that. He's out there just give the guy at least this amount of credit. He knows how to get attention. Good or bad, he knows how to get attention. And he's gotten himself a lot of it. And he's gotten the Big Baller brand a lot of it. And his son is going to be a must-watch guy, not just because he is a tremendous player and may be one of the best passers in the NBA already walking in the door, but LaVar out there shooting four-point contests in the big three games against Ice Cube. He's out there on WWE. He's out there all over the place. I don't like everything he says, but he knows how to get attention, and I think people are going to transfer that love or hate towards his son, which is going to make the Lakers must-watch TV. People are going to watch the Lakers to see them lose. They're going to watch the Lakers to see if Ball fails miserably, or they're going to watch the Lakers to see if Ball is everything he's made up to be, if the hype is real. But that's why they're on TV 35 times, one more than the Boston Celtics, who are a legitimate at least Eastern Conference Finals contender, and I would say NBA Finals contender. They're in that next tier of contenders. Something goes wrong in Cleveland. If that falls apart in Cleveland, the Celtics are right there ready to take that leap into the NBA Finals. They are one of those few teams that have a legitimate shot, if things break their way, to get to the NBA Finals. And they are not on TV as much as the Lakers. And it's the Ball factor. And that's why. Look, the San Antonio Spurs are on 32 times. They're one of the legit contenders. I can see them getting past teams. I can see them getting past the Warriors. They could put things together. I mean, they're not in the Warriors class, but you never know with Kawhi. But anyway, I digress. The Celtics, just looking at sheer strength of schedule by win-loss percentage, the Celtics do have the second easiest schedule going into the season. Now, that doesn't mean a damn thing when the rest of the season gets underway. Teams that were supposed to be good might end up bad. Some of the teams that weren't supposed to be great might surprise. So you never know. But the Celtics do, at this point, have the second easiest schedule. Take that for what it's worth. By the way, a couple of games of note, if you are interested in those Lakers and Lonzo Ball I was just talking about, they're in town on November 8th. So it's an early trip for the Boston Celtics, for the Lakers to face the Celtics. The next game of interest, the Warriors there I was just talking about, a week later on the 16th, and the Utah Jazz in town on December 15th, our buddy Jonas Jerebko coming back. Gordon Hayward facing his old team. I mean, that's going to be fun. Another game, Detroit is going to be coming to Boston November 27th. You want to see Avery Bradley return with the Pistons. That's weird to say, but that's a thing. Celtics, again, Christmas Day, the Washington Wizards we've talked about. They go to London on the 17th of January. Is that right? 17th? No, the 11th. Sorry, 11th of January. And that's like a weird because of the time difference, 3 p.m. start on a Thursday. So those are a few games of note. The Celtics only visit Cleveland once this year. That's a weird thing. But right away, after that first trip to Cleveland, that's it. They're done. They're not going to Cleveland anymore. So that's a weird little quirk of the schedule. And let's see. They only go to Charlotte once. That's another weird thing. Thank you, Sean Grandy, for that bit of information. So another thing here, I'm going to give you a little information from Brian Robb. The Celtics, 25, we're going to go with the 25 national TV games because we're not counting the NBA TV. It's their most since the, it's their most in the Brad Stevens era. In 2014-15, they had one, and I think they were flexed out of that game. Seven the following year, 22 last year, and 25 this upcoming season. Thank you to Brian Robb for breaking that one down. By the way, check out Brian Robb's stuff on the Boston Sports Journal. It's good stuff. It's a new site, and I would recommend subscribing. They're actually asking people to pay for the content, which I can support. People want to get paid for their work, and it's minimally invasive with the ads, so you get a pretty good experience. I have subscribed, and you should too. It's Brian Robb's doing good work over there. All right. That's it. Thank you for listening. A reminder, go back and use that SeatGeek app for any one of these games. We will be talking to you guys later on in this week. There's going to be more stuff to break down. We'll get Jay on here. Jay's enjoying his vacation. Sam's got a new job, and he's trying to actually focus on his new job a little bit. So it's August, so that means every once in a while I might be by myself. You can always tweet me at RedsArmy_John. Do that and subscribe. Subscribe to the show by searching Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. Anywhere you find your podcasts, we're there. Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, of course, and Spotify. We're on Spotify. That's right. Go find us there. Rate us 5 stars. Give us a good review. Let people know that they should be listening to us. We are the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales.